Welcome to Blind Bargain's audio coverage of CSUN 2013. Brought to you by...
On the American Foundation for the Blind website, you'll find everything you need to know about blindness and visual impairment. Search our national job bank, discover the history of Helen Keller, read our blog on current issues, find professional resources, and even more. Our site is completely accessible. Check it out at www.afb.org.
Now, here's J.J. Meadow.
We're here at CSUN 2013 with Larry Skukan, technology product leader for American Printing House for the Blind. And we are playing with the new Nearby Explorer for Android. Larry, welcome back to Blind Bargains.
Thank you, J.J. It's a pleasure to be here.
So we talked a little bit about Nearby last year when we did it. We're talking about the Braille Plus 18, but now this thing is actually released. It's out there. And why don't you explain and get us people up to speed on what's going on here?
Okay, so Nearby Explorer is a GPS app that we wrote originally for the Braille Plus 18 and recognized right away that it's a very powerful tool and thought that a lot of other people that might be running Android devices would like to take advantage of it. So we put it on the market back in January. It costs $99. And I know that sounds a little bit high for a market app, but... Honestly, we've got some pretty hefty licensing fees to pay for the maps is what explains most of that price.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Google's a little cut out of it.
Sure. Right.
But what you get when you download the program, it downloads the maps for the entire United States and Canada.
How much space does that take up?
About 3 gigs of space. So if you don't have that much space on your card, don't even bother.
Yeah, just go get a bigger card, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And what that lets you do is actually, that way you don't have to have a cell signal or a Wi-Fi to be able to use it.
So you could use it like on a Nexus 7 tablet with no...
Absolutely, which is a great bargain because that's only a $200 device, $100.
All right, so this, it ends up being it's pretty much a portable GPS.
And I'm pretty close to this, but I'd say this is probably one of the best ones I've ever seen, bar none. I've been dealing with GPS for years.
So let's talk about this for a second. First of all, a program like Nearby, for those who never used one of the blind-specific GPSs, like Wayfinder Axis or Sendero products or whatever, maybe are only thinking of Navigon, what are some of the features that... specific to blind people that make an accessible GPS an accessible GPS?
Great question, JJ. Because the temptation is, well, just go get a Garmin for, $79.
Well, sure, even Google Maps says the basic turn by turn,
And they'll even talk to you. But the problem is, with some of them, you can't control them. Navigon you can, of course. But the things that are specific that blind people really need are automatic announcements about things that are around you, for one. Also, intersections, upcoming intersections. There's not a commercial app that will tell you front street, left and right side, 150 yards ahead,
Mm-hmm.
So you get the configuration and the distance. And if you want, you can have constantly updating distances to your approaching streets or any of your nearbys or anything.
Sure. Or actually, we are standing outside, as you might hear with some of the ambience around here, so might as well open the thing up.
I'll show you how this thing works. So
all right.
Your main screen has got 18 different items that have to do with where you are, such as city, state, street address, street name, approaching streets, nearby. And I think one of the coolest features about this that you'll not see in any other program is that you can point the phone like a flashlight. And you'll hear when I put it into position, it'll say geobeam.
Geobeam heading southeast.
And I can move, as I'm moving the phone.
Park Place condominiums, 252 yards.
It vibrates when I point to something of interest.
These are businesses nearby that you're pointing at. Oh, that's a good restaurant.
Yeah. So one of the interesting things about it is if you have a data connection... this actually uses Google Places, so you get very current information about what's around. And the other interesting thing is the concept of the radius. So mm-hmm. as I'm in geobeam mode here, I'm going to press the volume up key.
300 yards.
And it just
300 yards.
300 yards. So now I'm going to point around.
So
now I'm seeing things a little further away. And what's really, you can't get this on the podcast, but you get this haptic feedback that's really, really kind of nice, and also a little bit, you have to be careful with it because you get a false sense of security. It's almost like you've got a cane touching it over there, but of course, there may be a ravine between you and it.
Right, a busy highway. I mean, yeah. It doesn't mean you necessarily want to walk from point A to point B in that exact direction.
Yeah, and let me just, for demonstration purposes, increase the radius to a couple of miles.
Music volume set to 100%. 1 mile.
So here's a mile.
San Diego, 0.5 miles. Heading west.
And let me go back the other way.
Maritime Museum of San Diego, 0.8 miles.
Maritime Museum.
So these are much more prominent things.
So
like museums and libraries.
Seaport
Village, yeah, that's the big shopping center that's near here.
Nice and close.
Port Grand Hotel and Suite, 0.4 miles.
Another hotel.
San Diego, 0.5. Hilton San Diego Bayfront, 0.5.
Hilton and a Hard Rock.
Yeah, so that's the GeoBeam feature, and it works just by positioning your phone so that the screen... you know, it kind of uses the end of the phone as the pointer,
mm-hmm.
and you hold it horizontally. Now, if you hold the phone vertically, it swings into compass mode, and watch what it does here. What it's going to do is tell you the direction and all the streets for half a mile in front of you, and I'll swing it into position.
West Harbor Drive, showing item 7 to 14 of 18.
Oops, got to interrupt it there.
GPS, street name, marketplace, checkbox, check. Latitude, N32, 42.627.
Okay, we got a little interference with TalkBack here. It's taking off reading, but I should have shut that off before we got here. I'm going to do it a little slower so it doesn't do that.
All right.
I did it anyway. Okay, I'm just going to turn.
Not checked. West Harbor Drive, unknown. Martin Luther King, Jr. Prom, West Market Street. West Harbor Drive, unknown.
I'm going to turn.
West Harbor Drive.
Turn a little more.
Street name, West Harbor Drive, unknown. Front Street, First Avenue.
So those are the streets as you're facing?
Yeah.
Those are the streets that would be that direction.
The closest one to you is the first one.
So that's probably going to even work the best if you're standing on a street. You can point it and see all the streets that are coming up.
Exactly.
So you can see like the next, like if you know that you need to get to a certain street, you can see how many more are.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So if how you use this program is really very dependent on you know, your personal circumstances. So if you're walking around, and especially if you're in a new area, you probably want to set the radius really small, like 100 yards, and that will tell you everything you pass by, no matter how insignificant it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a car going 30 or 60 miles an hour, you wouldn't want that. You would extend your radius out maybe to a half a mile or a mile, and you'd get more major things like, gas stations, and, you know,
things. And then in addition to all that, you can set your own points, I assume?
Yes. So anywhere you, like right now, we're standing here, we could set.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be on a street. It can, you know, it could be anywhere.
And that'd be great, like in farm situations, if you want to find the barn or whatever, even.
Right. Well, even this hotel has three or four different doors.
Yeah. And the neat thing about this is you can actually share them with other people that are running.
I thought about that. If anybody shared any points from CSUN yet, to see if other.
I hadn't seen any.
But you could put it up there, and then somebody else can they can grab it then, or it will show up.
Well, it'll just automatically show up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In their Google Places.
Right.
Gotcha.
And eventually, I believe Google actually starts using them. If they're, you know, I think what they do is verify them. Like I named the.
Or if enough people are, yeah.
Yeah. Like I named a restaurant there at back in Louisville that was a new one. And eventually it just showed up on the regular Google's maps right where I said it.
But, you know, that's a really good point, though, talking about places. I mean, I remember one of the big issues with GPS is you would get the maps with the point of interest data that ended up being a year to 2 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're looking at newer office, hey, AT guys, we are on here. You can find us on Nearby Explorer. And, you know, absolutely, because we put ourselves on Google.
Oh, yeah.
And then as soon as we did it, 15 minutes later, sure enough, we were available on Nearby.
Well, you know what's even more interesting than that is that you can move. Well, this takes a sighted person to do this, but if you say we've got a Kroger there, mm-hmm. and there's a big parking lot between the street and it, and it was marked at the street. So a colleague of ours went onto Google Maps / View, I think it is,
mm-hmm.
And he drugged the point right to the front door of Kroger. And it took a couple of days, but then the official Google Maps had actually had it listed right there at the front door.
What is the, when you're looking at points on the map, is that the, does Google, do they prefer the points to be at the doors, or do they want them to be on at the drive-in, at the parking lot entrances? Or is there a standard for that?
I don't think there's a standard. I think it really kind of matters on who's using them. I really prefer them at the door.
Well, of course we do. Yeah, absolutely.
Especially with GeoBeam, because you can walk right past it and feel it. You know, it's almost like there's a physical sign there.
You know, and that's actually a really good point, because I was doing some shopping, and one of a huge shopping center, the addresses were two numbers apart, but the stores were 800 feet apart.
Yeah.
But using the Google Places, points, it got me to the right spots. At least, you know, within close enough that I could, you know, figure out the door from where it showed me where it was.
Well, so, one more thing about nearby. Well, there's. I mean, we could spend there's an entire manual about all the things it does at tech.aph.org/any_info.htm. But one of the really neat things, I think, is the transit part of it. So,
sure, how does that work?
If you got a chance to try it up in your area.
Right. I don't think it's our little small city. Well, they need to work on it. Do they have it for San Diego? Or?
Yeah, I'll show it to you. So,
I know there's trains nearby. We hear them every night.
So we'll go into the menu.
Longitude, menu.
Yeah, I think if you tap the center or the.
Tap to select. West Harbor Drive, 60 yards northeast. Menu. Nearby, near Manchester, Grand Hyatt, San Diego. Lock menu.
I don't get this. This is.
Go 71. Recent apps. Menu.
All right, so we're going to go to transit on the menu.
Pause. Search. Explore. Favorites. Transit. Alert transit maps required. Downloading maps for your transit system. Try again when download completes. Okay. Transit map update. Transit maps required. Downloading maps for you. Okay button. Nearby
tell you what, explore. We'll talk while these maps download.
So it sees where we are.
Right.
Being in San Diego, and then it realizes that there are local maps available.
And, we have maps for about 30 cities right now. So we'll just chat while those download.
But sure.
The idea is what happens, it only has to download them the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is tells you where all the bus stops or train stops are within 350 yards of you. If you don't find any, you can increase that radius. Mm-hmm. So it tells you the direction, the corner that it's on, and which direction the transportation's going and what time the next bus is from right now. So here in San Diego, there's happens to be a train station about a couple hundred yards north of us.
So I noticed outside my window.
Right, at 2 in the morning especially.
Yeah.
And you pick which corner you want to go, northbound or southbound.
Mm-hmm.
And once you pick that, it'll tell you every train that comes through there, starting with the next one and what time. And then you can actually follow those along their route and, you know, just explore where the transit system goes.
Mm-hmm.
GPS, W73, W70.
You know what I checked?
Altitude,
I checked longitude, and it's we've got an unstable signal, so we can hear our latitude changing.
Oh, right. Yeah, because when you're checking the various options, that's if they're going to speak automatically, whichever ones you check. So we're still downloading the maps.
Right.
What are some of the other customizations? Obviously, you can do turn by turn and things like that. What are some of the other things that you can customize that you can do with this?
Well, there's a little bit of something for everybody in here. Latitude and longitude is one thing. It's kind of a geeky thing, but if you want to know
geocaching.
Precisely, yep, and exactly, or you can type in a geocache and then set it as a watch and get the GeoBeam to take you right to it.
What is the watch will pretty much?
Yeah, the watch is a special place that you want to keep track of. So if you'd set your house as a watch, you could see how far you were from it or point to it with the GeoBeam.
Right. If you want to do the classic, what some people refer to as the dead reckoning method, I guess.
Exactly.
You know, the point and shoot, and kind of just walk right towards the point, assuming you can actually cross the roads the way you're doing it.
Exactly.
Well,
and this latitude and longitude, if you really do want to know what those are, We've got intelligent playback options for it. So instead of spitting out that whole ugly number, it just tells you the small part of the number that actually changes. And then you can even change the precision on it. So I think by default we have two decimal places in the we're doing the minute, second, frac method.
Okay.
So if you want three digits of precision, you know, that's just really a foot or two. Two yeah. digits is a couple of yards. And depending on how your signal is, if you've got a good, accurate signal, you know, two digits of precision standing still should stay there.
It seems like, yeah, and it seems like the GPS receivers, a lot of people are thinking still that GPS puts you 100 feet away, but they've gotten a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
A lot better. I mean, you know.
I wouldn't count on it always because it really depends on the weather and the cloud cover and everything. But, yeah, it's.
I've seen you talk a little bit on the list. How explain a little bit how GPS works, especially like marking streets and. You know, if you're trying to go towards the street, the GPS, you said, it hasn't marked the center of the street?
Right. When they make the maps, they count the street at the center line of the street. And we have an algorithm in here that's, we call it parking lot mode. So as you walk away from the street, it's when you get 25 yards or more away, it tells you the nearest street and then how far and what direction it is to it. So if you're in a parking lot or whatever, it might say Front Street 80 right. yards north.
You know, you right. And these are a lot of those things that you're – if you're on a lot of the mainstream GPS apps, you're not on a road. It's just going to say go to the road. It's not really going to give you any direction of where the nearest road might be.
Well, exactly.
You
yeah.
know, they aren't designed especially for pedestrians or, you know, well, for the features that we need in a GPS app.
Now, the other thing that's really neat about this is you can explore the map. Mm-hmm. So if you just want to sit here and go to a different city and look around at intersections or whatever, you can do that, or places of interest. The search feature is really interesting, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you are online, it'll use Google Places. If you're not, it'll use the onboard data. And once you pick a place that you're searching for, or when you go into search, it just spits out the 20 closest things to you, and then you can type in the search box something more specific.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's using Google's algorithm, so you could type fish, for instance, and you might get a place that serves fish, a place to go fishing, and all kind of.
And you know, I've noticed, and it's not because it uses some of like the reviews and ratings.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
even if there was a fish place, but it didn't, you know, like Long John Silver's, which just happens to have fish, but doesn't have the word fish in the title, might come up.
Yeah.
You know,
and then once you pick one of those, you have your normal options: get directions, get guided to it. You can go to it virtually, but. A couple other interesting ones is you can open up the website for the place if it has one,
mm-hmm.
or you can actually call it if the phone number is listed in Google Places. So, yeah, you know, we're trying to
right. And you can save it. You can save them as favorites.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or save it as a watch even.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How's these the maps going here?
Let's see where we're at. I bet we're probably there.
1:33 p.m.
I should mention too. Usually what you want to do with this program is go ahead and put your phone to sleep. It'll still talk to you. All right, I'm going to shut off this latitude announcement here.
Right. Yeah, even if the phone is locked, it's still going to...
Yeah. All right, now... Well, I checked it instead of unchecked it.
There you go.
Longitude, double.
Not checked. All right, now let's go to the menu.
Pop, search, explore, favorites, transit. Alert waiting for result. Stops within 350 yards for MTS.
So you've just brought up the transit stops now.
Yep, it tells you the name of the transit system. Apparently it's called MTS here.
Increase radius. Seaport Village Station southeast bound 247 yards northwest. Next bus 1:35 p.m.
And so let's go up
Down
one.
To select. Village Station northbound 244 yards northwest.
Pick that one.
Seaport Village Station.
And now it's going to tell us all the trains that go.
List showing zero items.
Oh, there's nothing there. Let's back out and pick another
Stops
one.
Stops within Seaport Village Station northbound. Seaport Village Station. List showing zero items.
Well, I'll be darned. Let's see Stop. What's going on here.
Seaport Village Station northbound 244 yards north. Seaport Village Station. Old Town, Green Line.
So there's the old town green line.
1:42 p.m. SDSU green line. 1:42 p.m. Sandy green line.
So there's 1:42 is the next bus.
On Sandy. The green line, right.
Yeah. And I'll pick that and we'll get the schedule for it.
Seaport Village Station green line. 1:57 p.m. Thursday. 1:42 p.m. Thursday. 1:57 p.m.
We can just go down.
Thursday.
So yeah, you pretty much can see that they're running every 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, yeah. And you probably have heard them while we're out here going by, too.
Right. Well, that's cool. So what are some of the future plans for development? What's the next steps for this?
Well, we want to expand transit to cover more cities. Like mm-hmm. I say, we've got 30 of them right now. It's turning out to... It sounded like an easy job at first because we thought, well, we'll just use the Google Transit data, but it's not all really that accurate as one would hope
right.
it would be.
Are you able to get real-time information? Is that a possibility? Or
well... At some point we will. That's not included in the transit information as far as I can tell. You're talking about like if there's a GPS on the bus.
Right.
You can tell it it's 2 minutes away.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'd
love to do that. The real place we want to go with this is two directions. We want to get the touch screen maps where you can get haptic and audio feedback about what's on the map so you can... move around and really get a good picture of how the street grid is laid out and where the businesses are. But after that, we're ready to explore the indoor spaces, the new frontier of travel, indoor spaces. And we've all heard that Google's doing shopping centers and airports.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's not accessible right now, but we're looking at ways to do that. They've worked out good ways to get an accurate position of where you are indoors with a combination of a GPS signal and Wi-Fi. And
right.
I've even heard of some people using TV signals, but not on a phone, of course, because you
right.
don't have that reception.
Right.
But, there's a lot of issues there. Like you were talking earlier, what's the standard for where you mark a point? Well, there's some real work to be done for standards on the indoor space. You know, instead
right.
of streets and corners, we've got hallways and rooms and stairs.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely could be some challenges. I mean, just figuring out, which floor I'm on and make sure it's, giving me the map for the right floor. And, indoor GPS has been one of those things that... It's been talked about for a long time, but it seems like we're finally now getting close to the point where it's beyond talk.
Some of the conferences I've gone to, the manufacturers of these GPS chips tell me that eventually, they're thinking less than 5 years, the actual signals will penetrate buildings, or I should say
a lot
the
better.
Signals will be sensitive enough to interpret the signals.
Right, I mean, you already now, in a regular size house, you can get GPS in most of your house. Now, where a few years ago, that was not even a...
Probably not in the basement, but
right,
pretty
much
everywhere else.
Right, yeah. Sure. One of the questions that people are, inevitably going to ask, especially, those not really familiar with the Braille Plus development, is why is this on Android?
Well, exactly, because we developed this originally for the Braille Plus 18, which is the world's first Android smartphone with a Braille display and a Braille keyboard. And, it was just a natural extension to release it to the rest of the Android mm-hmm. market.
Sure. Are there any plans to go to iOS? You're going to leave that to other companies and let them deal with that?
Well, I know Sendero's got a fantastic track record with GPS, and we'll have to see what they do if there's not a need for it. It ain't cheap to develop one.
No,
of these.
Right.
So I think if they come out with one and it's meets everybody's need, it'd be kind of silly for us to sink a bunch of time and money into.
Sure. Is there have you tested much with Brailleback and the Braille support on Android?
Yeah, I sure have. I love it.
So it fully supports Braille. And also, which versions of Android is this working with?
This works everything from 2.2 up to the latest, 4.2.
So you don't need the brand new latest Androids, right? You can still have something a little bit older. And
interestingly enough, so far every customer that's purchased it has had 4.0 or later, though. So we,
right.
That kind of gives us the idea that we can actually drop.
Well, and you've had that. Well, especially looking at the way people have migrated to Android more lately. I mean, lately, because that's where the popularity started to pick up with the 4-point devices.
Well, so. And the newest version of TalkBack, they just released Beta 3 yesterday, I'd say they're pretty close to the smoothness and the effectiveness of VoiceOver on iOS. Mm-hmm. It is really getting nice.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree with that. But there you go. If people want to get more information about Nearby Explorer, is there a demo yet, by the way?
No, there isn't. Not yet. We're working on that. The licensing issues are
right.
A couple things we need to work out yet, but we're working on a demo.
Okay, sure. So if people want to get more information or learn more, how can they do that?
You can send an email to technology@aph.org, or you can check out, we've got the full manual online at tech.aph.org/ne_info.htm.
All right. Hey, well, thank you so much. Again, it's $99 in Google Play. So thank you so much, Larry.
All right. Thank you, JJ.
All right.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys. Copyright 2013.